It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. This is where I'm going to be for the next 4 hours. This is when I get started. Consider yourselves lucky. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can find me here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always tune in on the free Odyssey app. You can lock in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158. You got a smart speaker? Ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. I'm here all the time. Shout out to super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. And everybody listening all over North America, at home, at work, on the road, in traffic, delivering, sitting, securing, helping, patrolling, whatever you're doing, thank you. Maybe you're chefing it up. Maybe you're mixing it up. Thank you. Appreciate you. The phone number here at CBS Sports Radio is 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. NFL Combine still underway in Indianapolis. Coaches are still speaking. General managers are still speaking. NFL Players Association is dropping report cards on teams to embarrass teams and owners ahead of free agency. I love it. And so throughout the course of tonight, we're going to talk about Caleb Williams, the number one prospect, the number one quarterback prospect in this year's NFL draft. We're going to take a listen to the New York Jets, because the New York Jets are a bunch of idiots. Mecole Hardman said that they suck, and Joe Douglas had to defend them today. Not in those words exactly. The Cowboys are still saying crazy things. They said crazy things when I left here last night, and they still do that as well. Seattle is talking about how there's no guarantee who's going to play at quarterback, whether it be Geno Smith or Drew Lock. Today is Wednesday, so I am going to deliver to you a new top six list, and you will understand shortly why. Tonight, we're going to take a look at the top six owners in professional sports. I got you covered there. Tyreek Hill in a little bit of trouble. Some things you can't make up. Hey, Hickey, you heard about Tyreek Hill?
Oh, I did.
He's being sued by what do I call this woman? What's the appropriate word?
A model?
But didn't they say she was a plus-size model?
Yes. You want to go that term? She is a plus size model. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know. A plus size model is someone who weighs 115 pounds. But allegedly, he broke a leg. So there's a bunch of wild stuff. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But you know what? Since I brought it up, I don't want to hold you hostage for too long, even though I do. Take a listen to this ridiculous news story. This is courtesy of NBC6 South Florida. Tyreek Hill, just always into some you know what.
New legal troubles for Dolphins star wide receiver Tyreek Hill, a social media influencer, a model. She says that Hill intentionally broke her leg. That's according to a new lawsuit filed by Sophie Hall. This all went down back in June last year at Hill's Southwest Ranches home, the same home that caught on fire just a few months ago. Now, the suit claims that Hill invited Hall over to his home and that the two participated in a football lesson. And when Hill got knocked over, he was allegedly humiliated by friends and family. Well, Hall says that the cheetah was angry and then shoved her severely, then fracturing her leg at this point. So now we have reached out as of late Tuesday to representatives for Hill and the Dolphins for comments, and we are still waiting to hear back.
You can't make this stuff up. Hickey, you heard of football drills. You heard that, right? Football drills?
Why anyone would agree to do like an Oklahoma drill against Tyreek Hill is beyond me.
Yeah.
But why you would even offer that? If you're Tyreek Hill, hey, let's go, I don't know, run into each other? Let me do some form tackling?
Well, it says that allegedly she knocked him down and he broke her leg in return. So I don't know. Sounds fishy if you ask me. I think this is just some woman. I could be wrong. You know, maybe this is just some woman looking for a come up. Just pretty ridiculous of a story. Let's see how this gets settled or thrown out. If you find it online, this woman is even walking around with crutches. Maybe I can walk around with crutches and maybe I can get some money. Well, never mind. Hickey, if I got some crutches here at CBS Sports Radio, you think I'm getting a dime?
No.
Okay. All right. Touche. Slip on a puddle. It won't do me any good. Maybe when I get to New York tomorrow, we'll see what happens. Anyway, it's all about facilities, right? All about where you work. All about what you do. Well, today, yeah, the NFL Combine is going on. But one of the hilarious things that I saw today was the NFL Players Association. Pretty bad when it comes to negotiating a CBA. Getting just, I got to watch all my words today. They get the short end of the stick when it comes to negotiations. But one thing that I appreciate that they started doing last year was releasing a report card for NFL teams. Basically, 76% of NFL players. I mean, that's good. That's a better turnout than the actual amount that actually vote on the CBA. 76% of the players, 1,700 of them, responded to surveys about, you know, which team had the best coaching staff. Well, it would be Andy Reid with the Kansas City Chiefs. The worst coaching staff, to the shock of no one this past season, was the Raiders, not with Pierce, but with McDaniel. And then they had to rank the teams. You know, overall, the Miami Dolphins were ranked as the best-run organization when you take into account coaching, the facilities, strength and conditioning, etc., on and on and on and on and on. And the last team, because they've only had 1 year under Joshua Harris, is Washington, the Commanders. And you should expect for that to change sooner than later. But then when it came down to the ownership groups, I don't want to call this ironic. The Kansas City Chiefs were ranked 31st in the survey. This is the team that just went back-to-back and won championships. The Kansas City Chiefs got the best coach. They're considered to have the worst damn owner in Clark Hunt, and their facility is ranked 31st. It's been reported that after winning last year's Super Bowl, that Clark Hunt promised the team new locker rooms. The new locker rooms, they never arrived. This is also ironic. This has been floating around for a few years now. If you go to Arrowhead Stadium, which, by the way, is going to be renovated, up to speed, up to par, the Hunt family, their suite isn't just a suite. Their suite extends back like a mansion. I'm not joking. Hickey, have you seen this?
I saw one video, and I'll be honest, I wasn't sure if it was real or not. That's real?
That is, well, from everything I looked at, it was real. You went back from the suite, and then it went into a fireplace and an eating area. It had a staircase to take you upstairs. It looked real as hell to me.
It looked unbelievable. That's a hell of a suite.
It has like a house.
You're right. That's why I guess the locker didn't make it.
Yeah, Matt, he spent all the money on his own suite. Didn't want to spend any of the money or the cash on his team's actual facilities. It's just, it's ridiculous. And so, great timing, right? The NFL Players Association says, let's wait for the owners and the general managers and the coaches to show up to the combine, and then let's destroy them. Let's release our findings and then make them answer to it in front of the media. Pretty devious, if you ask me. I like it. I like it a lot. Hey, the owner of the Chiefs, Clark Hunt, he had to answer some of these questions today about not living up to his promise about fixing up the locker rooms. Listen to this.
The practice facility, and it is certainly a high priority for us. I have not had a chance to see the report.
Did you tell the players that they would get a renovated locker room?
Well, we did completely renovate the locker room here in the stadium a couple of years ago, so I'm not sure which locker room they're referring to.
With these renovation plans, then, and the Chiefs ranking near the bottom of those report cards for another year, just what do you think this kind of sends off to the players with this message of the lack of renovations for them as well?
Yeah, Well, I mentioned that the practice facility is something we're going to continue to think about. It's coming up on 20 years. We certainly, in a lot of ways, have outgrown it, and we recognize that we have a need to expand it and modernize it.
So what the hell you mean you don't know what the team and the survey talks about? Yeah, we renovated the locker room here at the stadium. Hey, you want to know how many times those guys are at the stadium? About 9 times a year, okay? That's it. And then if you can throw out preseason, I am going to throw out preseason because the guys who use the locker room preseason, the majority of them aren't even going to be around by the time September rolls on. The guys want a new facility, all right? And I've been to some of these facilities in the NFL. I've been to Ohio State's practice facility. And I can tell you it looks a whole hell of a lot better, my apologies, than like the Denver Broncos practice facility, okay? And I guess if you are the Kansas City Chiefs and you're winning all these games and you're winning all these championships, you're winning all these Super Bowls, I guess you just take the approach of, yeah, man, I can build myself a house at the top of the stadium in a suite, and the guys down there, oh, they're going to show up and win me a title anyway. What a pretty bad way to look at things. And so Kansas City Chiefs, the word is out. You can win a championship with Patrick Mahomes, but if you want to wash up behind in a decent space, don't count on it. You're going to have small showers. You're going to have, I don't know, small laundry bins. Your locker is going to be tiny. I'm just making stuff up, but I can only assume for a facility that's been around for 20 years that it's pretty cramped. And the last time I checked, human beings, hey, we ain't getting smaller. Pretty hilarious there. Some other things to note. And Hickey, these kind of, it reminded me that this is a $20 billion business. But then they still say, yeah, well, we're paying you. We can still do what we want. Listen to this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they would charge some of their more junior players, guys who were still on their rookie contracts pretty much, they would charge them to not have a roommate. You would have to pay almost $1,800 a game to not have a roommate. Does that sound fair?
No.
Oh my, $1,700, $1,800 to not have a roommate? That's robbery. That's y'all can't pay for an extra hotel room for grown ass men, for 300 pound men, two offensive linemen sharing a one bedroom. What are they going to put? One bedroom and two beds? A double bed? What are we doing? Cheap. It doesn't stop there. TJ Houshmandzadeh years ago, he said that the Cincinnati Bengals made everybody kind of just recycle jock straps. Made them sound like they had to buy water at the practice facility. Well, how about this? The Bengals last year, they did not provide 3 meals a day for their players. This year, they did. This past season, they did. But only on Wednesdays. You got 3 meals a day on Wednesday. But Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, figure it out. Go home and make dinner. The Cincinnati Bengals continue to be cheap. Patriots players felt the weight room was crap. Everybody hated Josh McDaniels. No shock, no surprise there. And congratulations to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars made a jump. The Jacksonville Jaguars were absolutely at the bottom of the barrel last year. And if you needed a reminder, just listen to the good old folks on First Coast News. This is last year.
Rats in the locker room and players' wives nursing babies in public restrooms. It's some of the things Jags players say need to change about the team's facilities over at TIAA Bank Field.
The NFL Players Association released survey results yesterday. Players from every team provided feedback, and the Jaguars were ranked near the bottom. On Your Side's Andrew Badillo spoke today one-on-one with Jaguars team president Mark Lamping.
Anthony, Jeannie, Mark Lamping saying that he wasn't surprised to see the results from the survey, adding that the team's new sports performance center has been created to help alleviate those facility issues.
This year, they're ranked fifth in the league. Last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars were 28. It's amazing what a new practice facility can do to you. Yeah, I don't know anybody who wants to shower, change, leave their belongings in the presence of rats. Maybe that's why the Jaguars have sucked all these years. They got a rat infestation. Nice new facility. Congratulations to them. I just enjoy billionaires being shamed. Why not? Why not? Clark Hunt, all the money in the world, built himself a house and a suite. Can't build a better practice facility for his championship squad. You got to love it. Hickey, is anything there surprising to you? Is it the meals? Is it, I don't know, the facilities? Anything stand out to you?
I mean, definitely for one, the Bengals offering three meals a day once a week seems insane. You would think that you would try to give your players as much food as possible to make sure they're, you know, ready to go and also eating the right things,
right.
Especially in season. And I mean, we are talking about the back-to-back reigning Super Bowl champions. And according to the players, who you would think, right, have no reason to disparage their own owner if they don't have to, rate him as the worst F-minus as an owner. Like, that is, you just assume good ownership or winning equals good ownership and vice versa because you have to have both in order to win. I guess not, but that is, that was the one that stuck out to me. The Chiefs having the worst owner in the league is voted on by their own players is wild.
Yeah, I guess they took the idea of, hey, you're taking advantage of us. You promised us a new locker room, and I guess they meant at the, not just at the stadium, but at the facility where they spend much, much more time, and they found him to be disingenuous. And all he could do is stand there and answer the question like a little kid with his hand caught in a cookie jar. Because, hey, is he embarrassed a little bit? I don't know. Maybe for a couple days. And then he's going to go home into his mansion, and he's going to complain to his wife and his daughter, and then he's going to just fall asleep on his silk linen or whatever the hell. What do rich people sleep on, Hickey? I don't know.
Yes, and maybe the finest silks, probably. I'm sure the Hunts are sleeping with. I saw this quote floating around. I haven't found the audio yet, but
Yeah. Apparently
the excuse as to why Clark Hunt said the locker rooms weren't redone after last year was that the season went too long.
Excuse me?
They went too far into the playoffs.
They didn't have enough time. They did too much winning going to the Super Bowl, right?
Imagine that. God. You can't spend a little extra to double time the locker room. Sorry, guys. You won too much, so we can't do it.
What a hell of an excuse that is. How much the way things get constructed here in the United States of America, you would think that they would be able to renovate the entire facility in 2 months. And I ain't some construction worker. I know we got a lot of construction workers listening. It ain't that difficult to make a locker room bigger, to make the weight and exercise room bigger, to throw in a couple more hot tubs and give these gigantic human beings a little bit more space. You know, I don't know what's worse. The fact that we also learned this week that when it comes to guys who aren't even in the NFL yet, guys who are still in the combine, the NFL flew some of these guys into the combine. The majority of them fly economy. Economy. They don't pay enough to put them in first class. They can't give these giant dudes who, I guess, what is the average size? I don't know, a 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 250. Some of these guys weigh 300, 340 pounds. They can't put them in first class. They got to squeeze them into economy. If they want to up it, they got to come out of their pocket to do so. NFL, I mean, this is how billionaires stay billionaires, I guess, by being a bunch of cheapskates and making the working folks, even in an NFL player, yeah, they're working for millions of dollars, but making the working folks just, quote unquote, suffer just a little bit. Keep them motivated, I guess. Pretty bad. Let's see what the Chiefs do. Hickey, you think they're going to renovate that locker room this year? You think they're going to renovate, excuse me, the facility?
I mean, I think they went too far. I don't think there's enough time between now and then to renovate it and do it all over again.
Yeah, that'll be the excuse next year when the Chiefs go out and three-peat. Pretty pathetic. I give them credit, though. At least they're not charging for water, and at least they are feeding their players three meals a day. Every year the Bengals just can't help themselves. Next year the Bengals will be they will make the players run laps before they can pick up their food. That's coming next. The Bengals are just the worst. Mike Brown is the worst. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. We're just getting warmed up. Our top six list today in about 2 hours or so, we're going to take a look at the top ownership groups in sports. A matter of fact, since we just talked about how bad the Chiefs are, there's a guy who just won a championship with the Chiefs. He's bad-mouthing his former team. I'm talking about Mecole Hardman. He decided to take a crap on the New York Jets. Like the Jets just don't take craps on themselves. We'll hear from him on the other side, as well as the Jets general manager. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket. Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops. Playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines. Getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Before we go on to how bad the Jets are run, before we listen to Mecole Hardman, who caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, tell you how bad the Jets are. Hey, Hickey, I got confirmation on Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, who was the NFL players. The association voted him the worst owner in the entire NFL because he lied, didn't say he was going to renovate the facilities, and et cetera. These are the two-time defending champs. I have confirmation here via multiple sources online because I'm an internet expert here. Listen to this. This was back in 2014, Hickey. NFL team owner Clark Hunt built himself an incredible luxury suite that has to be seen to be believed. This is courtesy of Fox Sports. The opulent suite extends over two levels with acres of hardwood flooring, marble busts galore, flat screen televisions, and a spectacular view of the field. And then there's a reminder that the family is valued at approximately $15 billion. And so the owner's suite is not a suite. It's a house. It's a mansion inside the NAM Stadium. So there's your confirmation, okay?
I would love to know what it's like to have that much money where you feel like you got to basically build a mansion at the stadium, which you'll be at eight or nine times a year for 3 hours at a time.
Maybe they got bedrooms in it. You don't think they have a changing room and a bedroom and nice exclusive bathrooms?
What do you need a bedroom for?
At the stadium?
Well, what are you sleeping there overnight? The game's at noon, earliest.
Too late
at night for you to leave on your private jet to go back home?
If people like to do other things besides sleep in the bedroom, okay?
Maybe that's why
I don't know. What happened?
Clark Hunt, he can't watch the game. He's too distracted.
I don't know.
Watching Patrick Mahomes throw that football, man, let me tell you, it puts me in a mood. I got to act on this impulse, damn it, right now. Build the bedroom.
It might. It sounds like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. That's what it sounds like. Anyway.
Is that where Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift go at halftime?
I think he stays down below in the cramped quarters. Okay. I think he stays.
In the bad locker room.
Yeah, he stays in a bad locker room. Maybe she's powwows upstairs with him. And we never see the back of the suite. We only see the front, right?
Wonder why.
Yeah, there's two levels. Anyway, look, I've been to MetLife Stadium. I worked with MetLife when they opened the stadium. The folks, wonderful people at MetLife said, hey, come by and look at this monstrosity. I can say this now because the business deal is done. They said, look at this monstrosity that we built out in New Jersey. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, I will. I cannot confirm, but I'm pretty certain and sure that MetLife Stadium, the home of the New York Jets and the home of the New York Giants, I don't think they have a mansion anywhere in the stadium. The stadium is just a giant slab of concrete. Now, having said that, someone who did not enjoy his experience at all being a member of the New York Jets is Mecole Hardman. And Mecole Hardman, also, by the way, he really didn't play for the New York Jets. He was there for five games. He had a whopping one reception for a whopping 6 yards. The New York Jets signed him as a free agent to a contract about $6 or $7 million for 1 year. And by the time they got to the fourth game, Mecole Hardman pretty much said, I'm done here. It's like Aaron Rodgers went down. This team is in the toilet. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And he was actually messaging the Kansas City Chiefs saying, come get me. And in October, the New York Jets sent him back to Kansas City, where, by the way, he also didn't have too much production to finish the season. Only 118 yards, didn't have a touchdown until the postseason. We know about the game-winning touchdown to win the Super Bowl. But take a listen to this. This is what Mecole Hardman said on the Pivot podcast.
Y'all treat certain guys that shouldn't be treated like they should be treated. And I just feel like it's not an established coaching staff there as well. Like, you just got a new coaching staff that came in. It's no standard there. It's like everybody do what they want to do. And defense have a more of a stabilized standard with that, with the coaching staff on that side. So you could tell the defense got a standard, but the offense is just like, all right, we've just figured it out. It's Aaron's show. Mm-hmm. Let Aaron do what Aaron do, you know what I mean? But then when Aaron go down, it's like, we don't know what to do. But this is that same coach staff that just was out of a job the previous year and then averaged get a new job. This my thing was, y'all can't tell me about winning. I've been to four Super Bowls in 5 years, you know what I'm saying, now, you feel me? But beforehand, I told, I've been to four AFC championships, I've been to three Super Bowls, I've won two of them. Like, I know what winning looks like.
Right.
I know what winning is. So y'all keep telling me certain things, it's like, I'm not going for that. Like, because y'all not doing it right. Like, we got hammers on the ground, we don't got no discipline, people feel like it's too many individual egos in this locker room or whatever, and I'm telling them, I'm like, that's not going to get y'all to win. It's not going to happen.
Mecole Hardman didn't say anything that we didn't already know. Like, come on, this is the New York Jets. The minute that they decided to go out there and get, this is guy's name, Aaron Rodgers, we know that this was Aaron Rodgers' team. We know that if Aaron Rodgers basically bit the football dust, that the New York Jets were going to be done. We know that Aaron Rodgers calls the shots. We know all of that, Mecole Hardman. Unfortunately for him, he had a guy like Xavier Gibson who pretty much took his job. That's one of the reasons why he didn't get playing time. That's one of the reasons why he didn't work. And we know, yes, Nathaniel Hackett, the New York Jets not having a stable veteran quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers, it ultimately was their demise. Thank you for filling us in on the obvious. Now, Joe Douglas, I'm sure one thing that he did not appreciate was the fact that his current player, or someone who was actively on his roster, was reaching out and engaging with management and players. Yeah, talk to the players, but saying things like, come get me? This could be tampering. And Joe Douglas pretty much was asked about his comments and whether or not the New York Jets took note of that element of what he said. Listen to Joe Douglas's response, real simple.
Look, those are comments that definitely resonated with us.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if the New York Jets go tap the NFL on the shoulder and say, hey, this is tampering. You're not supposed to be over here talking to the opposition, saying, get me out of here. You can't reach out to the GM yourself and say, bring me back. That's not how it works. But it's the New York Jets. Everything that they get, they pretty much deserve. Everything that happens is pretty normal, especially bad things. Hickey, have you ever known a good thing to happen to the Jets?
I mean, last year they got Aaron Rodgers. Like, so that was a good time. Like, they had that little
for a month training camp.
Yeah, when he came out for like the last preseason game, kind of got a standing ovation. That was good. The moment where he came out of the tunnel with the flag was cool.
Oh, and what happened 5 minutes after that?
Well, those 5 minutes, though, were pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was all about America. Let's Aaron Rodgers bring out the flag. He waved the flag, and then the Jets had to wave the white flag on the season. Pretty bad for the New York Jets. And how about this? Joe Douglas, he also knows things have just been bad for the New York Jets. Listen to their GM.
We haven't won enough. I mean, that's obvious. But weirdly enough, I feel like the culture is in a really good place with the people that we have. We just have to go out and do it. It's time to win. Everybody knows it, so it's time to put our heads down, work, and win games.
Oh, man, they about to be on the chopping block. He's about to be on the chopping block. Rob Saleh's about to be on the chopping block. Whenever Aaron Rodgers says, I'm gone, or he decides that they need to go, he gone. And that's just the New York Jets are treading on some difficult waters here. We all know that you need a quarterback to ultimately win. The fact that the New York Jets have put their entire future in the hands of Aaron Rodgers is pretty, pretty dangerous. Because whenever he leaves, the New York Jets, they're going to have hell to pay for bringing him in. And it's likely, the likelihood that they win a Super Bowl is not high. If you had to pick one or the other, the odds would say they are less likely to win a Super Bowl than they are to do so. This is some tricky stuff for the New York Jets. They got their quarterback. He's just a complete nut. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. When we come back on the other side of the break, there's a quarterback, not even in the NFL yet. He's made some comments about his future. His name? Caleb Williams. Does he want to go to the Bears? Is he open to going to the Bears? Well, we have found out via an interview. I will share these words with you and more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Right before we went to break, we heard from Mecole Hardman of the Kansas City Chiefs. Talked about his, what, five-game tenure with the New York Jets. Said that they were unprepared. And he was basically begging for the Kansas City Chiefs to reacquire him. He was reacquired. Really didn't play too damn much either with the Kansas City Chiefs. Did end up with the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. But he wasn't a happy camper. Said the New York Jets were a mess. And so throughout this time of year, especially with the NFL Combine, preceding the NFL Draft, we all hear about Caleb Williams and Justin Fields and what have you. There was even a video of Justin Fields jumping up and down, and maybe you heard somebody in the background saying, oh my God, he's going home. We'll find out sooner than later at some point over the next 2 weeks, you know, what's going to happen with Justin Fields. But Caleb Williams is scheduled to meet with the Chicago Bears. And Caleb Williams is currently on his little media tour, talking to the press and doing what he can do to improve his, not draft stock, but to, you know, kind of tamp down any fears that he doesn't want to be in Chicago, or that he's going to be difficult, or that he's going to be a tough guy to work with. And so one of those things that he put to bed was his enthusiasm to be a part of the Bears, or his enthusiasm to be a part of any team that ends up taking him, because as we know, there's no guarantee, wink, wink, that the Chicago Bears keep the number one overall pick. And so Pete Thamel, he actually had a conversation with Caleb Williams on SportsCenter and ESPN, and Pete Thamel detailed what that conversation was. Listen.
Caleb Williams and the Bears. It's been the biggest story hovering over this draft since the draft order was set. And Caleb Williams made two things clear to me. He said, one, he'd be excited if he went to the Bears. Now, I buttressed that by saying he'd be excited if the Bears traded him and he went anywhere else. But he said he was open to Chicago. He was excited for his first date with the Bears, as he'll be one of the teams that he meets with here. Talked about loving Michael Jordan, even deep dish pizza. He studied Walter Payton on YouTube. So there was an openness from Caleb Williams, which leads us to the next thing, which is there had been scuttlebutt in the vacuum of silence from Caleb Williams that he may try to manipulate the draft or try to do what Eli Manning did a generation ago to the draft. And he simply said that wasn't true. He has no agenda going forward here with the draft. He said it's ultimately up to the Bears whether they want to pick him or not.
Hey, Hickey, this sounds like everybody else trying to get a job in America, right? Just saying whatever and anything. Just give me the damn job, right? It's like asking, are you proficient in Excel? And you say yes, knowing that you haven't used Excel since, I don't know, 1997.
No one would ever do that. Come on. Nobody, lie at an interview?
Nobody,
a job you want?
Nobody lies on a resume?
No.
Job interview? Nobody lies about their education level?
No one ever lies that they want to be there? No.
Oh, wow. Hey, the question. we don't get asked this in our business, or have you? I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me this. What's the famous question? Tell us why you want the job. Is that what it is? Is that like that the boilerplate when you sit at a job interview? It's tell us why you want the job, right?
Or why you'd be a good fit, and then you got to lie about yourself, lie about the company.
Hey, why do you want the job? Well, I want money. Like, it's that damn simple. I want money.
I want to live, damn it.
Yeah, I want money. I don't want to be here. I just want the money. I'm going to make my money, be here, and be miserable, and then leave. That's it. And so Caleb Williams right now, as the Chicago Bears are interviewing him, and he's just trying to put his best foot forward. Because he knows folks like me sit on a radio and people sit on television and they talk about whether or not he's ready for the big time. I mean, we've taken calls all week long. Caleb Williams isn't ready. And Caleb Williams is a crybaby. And Caleb Williams isn't ready for Chicago. And we need to keep Justin Fields. We've heard it all. You don't think he hears it as well? Clear and plain as day? Caleb Williams is, come on now. The part that got me is that he likes deep dish pizza. That man is going to get drafted by the Chicago Bears. He's going to have one photo shoot where they put that deep-ass pizza in front of him. No offense. And he's just going to take a picture with it, and that's it. The man might not see another deep dish pizza for the rest of his life. He likes Michael Jordan and pizza. Great. What else is he going to? He likes it when they make the lake or the river green. He's going to tell you he loves the Sears Tower or whatever the hell they call it. John Hancock. I don't know. He loves the Magnificent Mile. He loves the diversity in Chicago. He loves the wind. He loves the Cubs. Hickey, is that it? Is there anything else to love in Chicago? I love Chicago. He loves the Loop.
The Blackhawks? Did you mention the Blackhawks?
Oh, he's a fan of the Blackhawks now.
Loves the jerseys, I'm sure. Love, you know, been a fan since he was a kid.
Yeah. Just saying anything to get the job. Now, this isn't necessary. And he continued on because I actually read the piece. This is what I've been preparing for my whole life. Since I was 10 or 11, this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. At that age and so now, it basically feels like your whole life. If I get drafted by the Bears, I'll be excited. If they trade the pick and I get drafted by someone else, I'm just as excited. Speaking about Chicago, they have a talented team, a talented offense, and defense. For anyone to be in that situation, I think that they would be excited. I'm not pushing any agenda, Caleb Williams said. And at the end of the day, the Bears have the last say. Regardless of how I feel, I'm not pushing an agenda of, this is where I want to go. Or no, I don't want to go here. I'm excited for whatever comes. It's like an episode of Family Feud. Good answer, good answer, good answer, good answer. Like, this is all written in stone, man. I already told you, give it about 2 weeks. 2 weeks, Justin Fields is going to be gone. Caleb Williams might as well start house hunting, right? Live out in the burbs in Chicago. Commute to downtown into Soldier Field. Get used to the cold weather. He should buy a coat. I'm sure he didn't have one. He didn't take one out to, you know, California. He should invest in a vehicle that has four-wheel drive. And he should get some thin skin. Because the Bears fans they're going to eat him alive the minute that he sucks. And let's be real and let's be honest. You know, based on some of our conversations yesterday, Alex Shapiro joined us from NBC Chicago. He said that the Bears fans are torn 50-50. He said it's like a civil war. I don't know what the Bears fans call themselves collectively. What, a Bears country? I don't know. I know fans, all of a sudden, they have their group names. Red Sox Nation, Laker Nation. I don't know what the Bears are. But he said their fans are divided. And if 50% of them don't want Caleb Williams, then when he arrives, for all my folks who listen to The Score, shout out to everybody on The Score in Chicago, they're going to destroy Caleb Williams if he doesn't work out. he might as well get some thicker skin. And I know he liked to cry in mommy's bosom. He needs to save the tears for private with mommy and not in public, because we've seen him be a little crybaby here and there. I think that's my only concern with the dude. How do you hack it when you don't get the job done out on the field, and the Bears fans and the media in Chicago, they come after you? We'll see what happens. At least he's playing the politics right now. He's doing a good job there. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, everybody's trying to figure out their life, right? Mecole Hardman says the Jets suck. Kansas City Chiefs, they are the two-time defending champions. The Chiefs, they say our owner, he sucks. Well, there's a team that everybody knows sucks. They can't get the job done in the postseason. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Stephen Jones, yeah, he continues to talk in place of his dad. I guess that's a good thing. Maybe. Maybe it's a bad thing. Stephen Jones says, we want to pay Dak Prescott, C.D. Lamb, and Micah Parsons. He also believes that they are, yes, still getting close to a championship. I don't know what they have in the air in Texas, but they need to get everybody in Arlington checked. They need to get everybody in Frisco checked, because the Cowboys, they are delusional. They're stuck as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We'll hear from Stephen Jones. Hey, Rich Cimini covers the New York Jets. We're going to hear from him. Zach Wilson is even eligible to ask for a trade or search one out. So we got a lot to do this coming hour. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.